commune with you and know your heart. Thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Should I use this or? Oh, that's right. yeah, it's on. I turned it on. Good. Awesome. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Good to see you. Let me just pray, just decree real quick, say a prayer, and I'll get started. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Byron and Nancy and Jonathan and all the leadership of the Gathering Place and for just what you're doing here. And thank you for the opportunity and the privilege and the honor to be a vessel for your heart towards every person who has come to hear your word, to be a vessel to distribute your love, your grace, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. And so I thank you also that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are in bondage, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. We thank you for your partnership, for your presence. We thank you that your plans are to partner and to love and to set every area of captivity free. So inspire us, hide me in you, Lord Jesus, hide us in you. So none of us, all of you, all of us, we pray all this in your precious Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And I want to thank Byron and Nancy and just your leadership for just this opportunity and privilege. And I'm happy to be here. I'm really happy to be here. So let's see. So we know that if we look at the headlines and we look at all that's going on in the world, there's a lot of unrest. There's political unrest, and there's division in the world amongst nations. There is the coronavirus. Deaths on the rise from that. There's personal things, personal division, relationships, marriages, people's health being attacked, being compromised. So there's a lot of fear. There's a lot of angst about what's going to happen. And that actually, so when I asked Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? What do you want to say? He said weariness. Because even the weariness, there's even that that's heavy, has even impacted the church. Right? There's a weariness that has come against the church. But so what he said, the title of this is Kingdom Rest. Kingdom Rest. The protocol for peace. Because when Jesus, and even after the resurrection, he said, my peace be with you. He said, my peace be with you. And that's not the peace of the world. That's, he said, not the peace of this world, but my peace. His peace is not at all dependent upon what's going on in the circumstances in the world. And as dark as it looks, and as dark as it can get, and as dark as it can seem, his peace is upon us. And we're to be carrying that, and that's the light. Right? That's what brings the light into the world. So I'm going to talk to you about kingdom rest, even with anxiety. So again, the American Psychiatric Association did a study in 2017 of 1,000 people, and they asked 1,000 people how they were with anxiety. 2/3 of them said that they were anxious, either from moderate to severe in some way, about their own safety, about their own health and well-being, or about their family, or about situations or circumstances. 2/3 of them said that. So that is not God's plan for us. So I want to talk today about what rest is. What is kingdom rest? And how do we enter it? How many know what rest is? How many would like more rest or more peace? Oh, you guys are good. Well, let's go next door, maybe. Yeah. So can you do the first? So Matthew 11:28, he says, this is the first, Jesus says, come to me. Come to me, all who are weary. All of you who are weary and burdened, he said, I will give you rest. But the first thing he said is, come to me. I'm going to talk about what rest includes, and I'm going to talk about it, and also we're going to read the scripture on what it says about rest. So, but the first part, he says, come to me. That means that, so the first thing that rest includes is relationship. Relationship with our living Father God, or living Spirit of God. It's relationship. It's that assurance, knowing him, the assurance that the relationship is knowing his voice, it's knowing his heart, right? It's the assurance of knowing that he's good. Because when we know him, we know he's good. So it's the assurance of knowing he's good. It's the assurance of when we know he's good, when we know we have a good dad. A good dad wants to bless his children. He loves his children. So when we know he's good, we know he loves me. Not just he loves us, he loves me. Right? We know that. So it's that I know he's good. I know he loves me. I know he has good plans for me. And it's not just a knowing up here, right? Because we can know something up here, and then we can experience, we can know it in our experience. But it's an experiential knowledge. It's an assurance, right? And so it's that assurance. I know. And then knowing that he's with me, knowing that he's with you. Knowing, right? He's with you. Knowing that. I got a call about 6 weeks, or an email. Guy was looking for somebody to help him with anxiety, and actually it was ADHD. So he said, "Do you specialize in that?" And I said, "No, I don't. I don't specialize in that." I said, "I specialize in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So I can help you with that if you want, but not." not because I specialize in that, but I can help you with that because of my partner. And the Holy Spirit knows about that. And so I said, but if you want somebody who specializes in that, I totally understand you, but I'm not the person for the 80 sheep. So he said, oh gosh, you made me curious. I really want to come. And so he did, and he told me that he had been praying about an assurance. He'd been asking God, I want assurance that you're real. I want assurance. I want to know that I know that I know. Now, when he contacted me, he didn't say that, right? He was saying, I'm looking for somebody who can help me with ADHD. But about 2 weeks before that, he had asked God, I want assurance. And what he didn't know before that was he didn't have that relationship with the Holy Spirit. And that's who gives us assurance, right? It's that relationship that gives us assurance. Now, 6 weeks later, he's like, he knows the Holy Spirit. And he's like, he thought he was looking for help with the ADHD, and although, yes, all that helped, but really what he was looking for was the assurance. And so sometimes we think we're looking for one thing, and it's not really that. So rest is defined as the harmonious working of will, heart, conscience, imagination that's been found in God. So it's like all of our, it's like aligning all of that. It's like all of us in agreement with what God has, right? It's all of us being in agreement with God, with God's satisfaction and development. It is not, and we're going to go to some scriptures, but rest is not what our body's doing or not doing, right? So I think many of us have thought, okay, well, rest. I'm sitting still, so I'm resting. Or I'm laying here, so I'm resting. How many have been sitting still and lying there and your mind was 15 other places? And so your body was still, even right now, right? Your body can be still. But your mind, the mind is the one that actually is looking for rest. Because our body can be moving and we can be at rest. And that's the actual real kind of rest. So let's go to Genesis 2. We're going to look at what rest is. Because regardless of... So the blessing that we bring... peace is the most sought after commodity. And you can't put a price tag on it. But it's the thing that people are looking for the most. And it's a thing that cannot be bought with money. So no matter how wealthy someone is or no matter how poor everyone wants peace. Anywhere you go, people, what do you want? Peace, more peace. So we as the body ought to know, right? We're going to know what it is and how to give that away. So Genesis 2:1, it says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Okay, so he created everything in the 6 days. And at the end of the sixth day, then he created man. Right? And then man entered on the day of rest. And so he created man, and he created everything. So I think it's interesting that He didn't create man first to do everything with him. He created everything, entered rest, and then said, and that was the Sabbath, and said, now you enter into the Sabbath. And so man could rest in, and we're going to go into this more. He created man to rest in, to take dominion over, right, everything that he created. But we are to rest in, and we'll go to, we'll read this in Hebrews, actually. That's the next one, right?
You want to go there now?
Go to that one, Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews 3. So he was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor. Now, Moses was over the law, and Jesus was over grace. And it says Jesus, so grace is bigger, it's more than the law, right? So grace. So for every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house. Indeed, we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of the testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourages one another daily as long as it is called today, today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. So as has just been said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Who were they who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies perished in the wilderness? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest, if not to those who disobeyed? So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Rest, the first thing of rest, so as we said, relationship, rest is belief. So again, I can be sitting there, I can be meditating and not believing, and I'm not resting. They couldn't enter, they did not enter his promised land, not because it's unbelief that, so again, when one of the things that he did, it's unbelief that everything has been done. And we'll go to Hebrews 4, actually, too. So we'll finish up this one and go to the rest, because it's... So therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, so we still have the promise of entering his rest, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere, again, this is in Genesis 2, what we just read, he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. So we'll So we'll stop there for a minute. So rest is knowing and believing that it's done. What is, so whatever the situation is, so whether it's a bad report, how many have got received negative medical reports? Or whether it's your child, it feels like your child has deviated and has gone away from the Lord. Or whether it's the news and the negative information on the news. Whatever it is, rest is saying, you know what? Jesus already finished this. He thought of me. He had this in mind. He had this situation, my body, my health, my kids, my family. He had our nation. He had all this in mind before the foundations of the earth. So rest is saying, I believe that. I believe that. It is finished. Rest is saying that he already took care of this. He already took care of all of the it's okay.
Don't
okay. So it's belief. That's what rest. Rest is belief. It's believing he's always good. Rest is keeping a soft heart. Soft heart involves believing, right? The soft heart involves believing. So when we have a hardened heart, it's hard for us to believe. And it also involves obeying. One of the things when I was called a few years back, I was called to, Holy Spirit invited me to resign from my position at the school. And I had been a school psychologist for 11 years at the school, at a therapeutic school. And Holy Spirit said, okay, your time, your assignment here's done. Your time here's done. And now, the timing was scary for me. Well, even just resigning, that was scary. It was like, what? This was at a time when my sister and my nephews also had come, and they were staying with me. And so I was really the primary financial, you know, breadwinner, whatever you want to call it. But God was providing. But it was scary. It was like, now? You want me to do this now? I said, I know you're saying my time here is up, but are you sure it's now? And now he had done several things preparing me before that. So I'd gone to the year before that. He invited me to go to China. That was another. I was like for 17 days, and that was again the timing was like right now. I just went back to work. This was after the summer, so the timing felt very off. To me, the timing felt like there has to be better time. And during the time when I was wrestling, when I was saying, are you sure not? I wasn't in rest. Because I knew he was telling me to do something. I knew he was inviting me to do something. I knew he was inviting me to do something that I wasn't really comfortable doing, that my flesh wasn't comfortable doing. But I knew it was him who was saying, do this. So I'm in this wrestling process of like, well, the timing is just, are you sure this is right? So I'm in this wrestling process, and I'm in that contemplating. And I wasn't in peace in that time. Because I was contemplating obedience. So then finally I agreed. This is that finally I said, okay, yes, I will do that. Yes, I am going to resign. So finally I got to that place where I said yes. And then I contacted my boss and said, okay, I need to talk to you. And I told him that I was resigning, I told him the Holy Spirit and said that my season here is up and I'm resigning. And so he said, are you sure? I said, yeah. He goes, what are you going to do? Now, that was the other thing, because I knew I was going to go into private practice, but nothing was set up. And I was going, okay, so I need to get my website, I need to get all this stuff. And God said, no, I'm doing that. I'm taking care of it. And so I did try. I tried to get this website, but it didn't work. It didn't work because the people who I was hiring to do the website, like, things happened and it didn't work. And so God got his way. But so in that, I out of my own, you know, negative, my own nervous energy, I was like, okay, no, but I have to do something. I have to help you, God. You can't do all this yourself. I have to help you. And so I was trying to help him, and that didn't work. So the website didn't go up. But what happened was, I told my boss and resigned. And then after I did, and I still didn't know what I was going to do, but after I told him, I had such peace. Again, I returned to peace. I had such peace because I had re-entered obedience. I had re-entered rest. I was out of rest when I was not obedient, when my heart wasn't even in alignment, in agreement, right, with obedience. It was not that I was, but I was just like, oh my gosh, I know I need to do it, but this is scary. What am I? Oh my gosh, help me. So after I told him, then it was really amazing how, like I said, right after, the rest realigned and the peace realigned. And then a couple days later, you know, I told myself, stay as, you know, however long it takes you to get somebody. But so then a couple days later, he goes, well, we still don't have anybody, so it's still not too late if you want to come back. And I laughed at that point because at that point I knew. I was like, no, I'm good. I've done. I know that this is the decision that God has for me. And so now I know that. So I had the peace because peace follows wisdom as well,
amen.
Right?
That's right.
Amen. So rest is keeping a soft heart of trust and belief. Now, after that, I went into, and I had to continue on this, you know, of just this obedience, and right, this was a higher level of obedience. So he guided me. He told me exactly. I did not know where I was going. I knew what I was going to do. I deal in regards to private practice, but I didn't know exactly where. So he just put these pieces together and sent me to, he said, okay, just put one step at a time. He just told me what to do, right? And that's, again, rest is just our one step at a time obedience. We don't always, usually we don't have the whole plan laid out. That's what we would like. But it's that one step at a time, as Byron was demonstrating in prayer time with Catherine. It was one step, right, at a time, moving towards God in our obedience. We do it one step at a time. The more that we try to figure out, the more that we try to know, the more that we detach from rest. So rest is coming out of agreement with striving and toiling, mm-hmm. with doing. So the Bible in Hebrews 6 it talks about dead works, repenting from dead works. And what are dead works? Dead works are really anything that's not producing fruit. Which is anything that he hasn't told us to do. Because if he hasn't told us to do it, it's not going to produce fruit. And if he has told us to do it, it will produce fruit. We don't have to worry about it. We're not the fruit producers. We just say yes, and we let the Holy Spirit do it. And then we enjoy that rest. So basically, rest is a lifestyle. It's a mindset. It's a mindset, and it's a lifestyle of believing that it's already done, and all I have to do is walk in it. Mm-hmm. All I have to do is walk in what he already did. That's all we do. We walk in what he already did before the foundations of the earth, and then we enjoy that peace and that rest as we walk in it. Rest is not performance. Rest is really it's a deliverance, which I've had to be delivered from the performance. And the performance is that's the striving, that's the toiling, that's the I have to create something, I have to do this. That's the toiling, that's the performance. That takes us out of rest. That takes us out of peace. When we think it's up to us. Or when we try to do something or try to get something or try we're focused on some outcome, that's performance. So rest is out of that. So in order for us to receive the healing, the physical healing, the emotional healing, in order for us to live from a place of prosperity, we really do have to be in peace. Peace attracts the blessing, even in our bodies. Our body heals when it's in a state of peace. Now you say disease is dis-ease. It's dis-ease in, so our relationship, yeah, it's dis-ease in our relationships, right? It's disconnection. It's some area, dis-ease is really just a signal that there's some disconnection in some area. Usually it's with God or self or others, but it's not being at rest in some area. That is dis-ease. And so what we're to do is say, Holy Spirit, what area or areas am I not at ease? Which areas of my life? Which relationships? Right? Which relationships need to be at rest? Because even that, we can't be at rest when our relationships. Rest is our relationships being in peace and at rest, right? So rest is also, the last thing that rest is letting go. Letting go of what? Rest is letting go. See, in order for me to say yes to that and many other things that the Holy Spirit has asked me to do that has been uncomfortable, in order for me to let go of that season and resign, I had to let go. I had to let go of my own ideas, my own opinions of what provision was supposed to look like. Sometimes in relationship, we have to let go of the need to be right. Sometimes we have to, even with politics, especially with politics, right? Because I have good news for you. The good news was not that you need to be a conservative or a liberal. That wasn't the good news that he had for us. The good news is that we are to love one another no matter what. And so sometimes we have to let go of the need to persuade people about anything related to that. Or really, and sometimes it's letting go. What else? We have to let go of outcomes. We have to let go of what we define as what it means for God to be good. And what it's supposed to look like in this circumstance. God, if you're good, this circumstance will look like this. Right? We define, well, wait, it doesn't, no, wait a minute. This is not how I was expecting it to. What's wrong with you, God? What is wrong with you? Do you not love me? Are you not good? Because this is not the way I thought it was supposed to look. So letting go is letting go of our own preconceived. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. When we let go, it's letting go of our own understanding. right? It's letting go. He says in Proverbs 3, he says, lean not, lean not. It doesn't say lean into, like we've all done sometimes. But wait, this is my understanding. He says, lean not on your own understanding. So letting go is, it's really letting go of our own understanding, our own thoughts, our own opinions, our own ideas, right? It's letting go of our own ways. It's surrendering, it's yielding our minds. You know, that this is another thing that got in my way. We all can have I idolized my own way of thinking over his. And so what is that? That's thinking if there's something that doesn't make sense, I wanted everything to make sense. So I have to, if I don't understand it, if it doesn't make sense, then no. But now what I've learned is that many times when he's telling me to do something, it doesn't make sense to me, to my natural mind. And it's not, most of the thing, he says, my ways are higher than your ways. That's why trust is so important. So rest is trust. It's trusting in him. It's saying, God, you know what? I do not understand this. I did not understand resigning at that time. I did not understand why he wanted me to go to China at that time. I did not understand necessarily why he wanted me to put my home and sell my home in the coldest month in February. I did not understand. I said, could we wait a few months? It's kind of cold. I really don't want it. But and it's okay. We have that relationship. I still did it, but it's letting go. It's being willing to say, okay, yeah, I have this, but okay, I yield that to you, Holy Spirit. Help me. Give me the grace. So the letting go. And what I found is that letting go is one of the biggest, it's one of the biggest challenge, it's one of the biggest things I think that separates us with peace. Even letting go of our own, of idolizing our emotions.
Right.
Of our senses. Letting go of idolizing our five senses, what I can see, what I can feel, what I can hear, what I can touch, smell. Because often, that's what comes in between our decisions. That's what impacts us. That's what prevents us from making a decision. We'll say, well, wait a minute. I thought I was healed, but I don't know. I'm feeling this thing again. But the Bible does say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? So rest is saying, I may not see it, I may not feel it yet, but I know it is done. I know. I may not see that healing. I may not see. Byron was talking about potential. I may not see this person behaving the way I know God designed them to, but I know the way. I know what God's plans. I know God created potential. I know what God created in this person. And this is, God, show me your view. I see the glory on your life. Right? I may not see it here, but I see it because I'm not looking just here. I'm looking from his perspective. So rest is seeing his perspective. And that's a choice that we have to make. Choosing to always see his perspective. And not just ours. When I would work at the therapeutic day, when I worked at the therapeutic, it was a therapeutic day school. And there were many, we would get the files with all of these, we'd get the files of the kids, thick files with a bunch of just all the mistakes that they'd made in school, really. These are the main things. And we had a choice. And the choice was, are you going to see them based on what's in the file? Are you going to see them based on the past? Based on all the mistakes and behaviors that they've done in the past? Are you going to see them based on that? And interact with them with that expectation? Or are you going to see them and interact with them from the heavenly perspective? And interact with them based on what God says. And so, because we actually, when we're resting in our, when we're resting and approaching relationship from a place of rest, then we're seeing one another and we're interacting with one another from his perspective. Right. We're interacting with one another. We're not saying, we're interacting from, you're saying, we're calling out the best in one another. We're calling out his glory, right? So that's, and then that's what produces fruit. So that is what rest is. Rest is. So what I want us to do, I want us to say a prayer together. To we all can, no matter what level of rest we're at, let's finish reading this and then we'll say a prayer together. So he says, and again, the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter the rest, that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So rest is resting from. So one of the things that God told me in that season, he said, the less you do, the more I do. The more you do, the less I do. But the less you do, the more I do. And so it was entering another level of season of grace. Now that's hard, right? That's hard for us. I mean, especially me having coming out of performance and just do. But the less, I said, don't I need to be doing this or this? He said, the less you do, the more I will do. And that is what I've experienced. And that's what I'm experiencing. And what does that mean? It obviously doesn't mean I don't, you know, not doing anything, but it means that I do what he says. Nothing more, nothing less. He says, do this. And many of the times he says, do this. In fact, just send out, it's another example we had, when we were transitioning where we were having our session or ministry meetings, certain ministry meetings, and one of the churches was closing, and so this was a few years back, one of the churches was closing, and so we didn't have, we were starting to do a monthly meeting, but we didn't necessarily have a spot yet. And so he said, go ahead and send out the invites. But we didn't have a location yet. So he said, send out the invites to the people for coming. So it's and with the date, because we knew the date. So he sent it out with a date, and then some people were saying, oh wait, where is it going to be located? He said, to be determined. And so so that's going to be determined. That's to be determined. But we're having it on this date. So then another person was saying, well, do we have a place yet? They were asking, do we have a place yet? And I said, yeah, we have a place. And I didn't know where yet. I don't know, but God has a place. I don't know where yet, but yes, we have a place. I don't know the specific location yet. So, but what happened was, about a week before, I said, okay, God, where do you want to do this? And the Holy Spirit said, contact this person. And so he gave a person to contact, who I just gotten back in contact with. So I contacted that person, and then after I contacted that person, they contacted me. They said, well, I said, you know, they said, wait, let me get back with you. They said, I have this one person who I need to talk to. They said, let me get back with you. He got back with me within 10 minutes. That person called and said, we have this, you can use it, we have this. And not only did they let us use it, he just made a layout for chips and just, God really just put a kiss on it. And so, but he had said, send out the invite and invite the people before you even know where it is. And that's what he often does. And so it's like not doing anything more, not doing anything less. But that's when, and of course those things are scary, but there's some things that he's inviting several people in here to do, right? To step out like Peter did on that water. He's inviting several. He's saying, yes, I've asked you. I've invited you to do this. It's me. I've invited you to do this. And so he's saying, step up. Step on the water. Because it's not in your strength. Somebody said one time, if we always stay comfortable, we don't need a comforter.
Yeah, that's right.
I was like, so it's only when we step out of our comfort zone, and that's been for sure for me, when I've stepped out of my comfort zone, that I've really had to rely on the Holy Spirit, and that's really caused me to have a really tight relationship with Holy Spirit. So let's do this prayer, and I'm just going to ask you to, we'll just... We're going to do this prayer, and then after we do this prayer, we're just going to listen and hear what is it that he's inviting us to either let go of, in order to enter his rest. Is it unbelief? Is it doubt? We're going to do our prayer of repentance. It starts often with just deciding, making the decision to turn away from our old ways of thinking, making the decision to turn away from fear, doubt, unbelief. Okay? And so we're just making more room for what he wants to put there, the rest he wants to put there. So you guys ready? Is everybody okay with making that decision to turn away from any fear, doubt, unbelief? Okay, so say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I confess and repent and renounce of any and all agreement that I've had with fear, doubt, unbelief, hardened heart, disobedience, dead works, or holding on. And I ask for your forgiveness. And I thank you for your forgiveness. And from this day forward, I'm choosing from my heart and with my will and my emotions to release all of these things. to release the areas of my heart, where fear, doubt, unbelief, lies, hardened heart, disobedience, and my own ways have taken up space. I'm releasing all of that and giving it to you. I'm letting go. Holy Spirit, heal my heart. Invade my heart. Reveal to me any areas that you're inviting me to let go of. And also reveal to me anything that you're inviting me into. Anything that you've spoken to me already in the past and asked me to do that I haven't done. My heart's open. Soften my heart. And anything that you've asked me to let go of that I haven't let go of. My heart's open. Reveal that to me. Now I want you to stay there and stay in that mode and just maybe take a few deep breaths. And I'm just going to play a little bit of his music and we're just going to just listen to him. Listen to what Holy Spirit wants to say. And
you provide the spirit.
Good. How many heard something, received something? Okay. Anybody want to share? So here's, it's okay, and if you decide, you can raise your hand, but here's the thing, I just want to say, so that's the beginning of the conversation. Sometimes we're asking God, why isn't this happening? And oftentimes it's something that he's invited us to do. It's one step. So if he's invited us to be obedient in a certain way and we haven't, or if we're not hearing him, oftentimes it's because in some way our heart is hardened. And hardened is, right, hardened heart, what is that? It's a disobedience. It's, I can't hear her because he's always talking. He's always talking to us. The question is not, is he talking? He's a relational God. He's relational. So I don't believe that, he's not talking, but I do believe sometimes we're not hearing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we're not hearing, and that's because we're not. And that's our own heart issue, and that's when we could say, God, I repent. Soften my heart. Help me to hear you. And then when we take responsibility, and then our ears open up. I'll share one more story real quick in closing. So when there was a. This was actually before going to China. One of my left ear kind of clogged up. It was clogged, and it wasn't opening. And I was like, and it was like over a week. And it was just like, you know, sometimes with it, it's clogged. But this time it was just clogged, and it wasn't. I was like, okay. I know you're, what are you saying? What do you want to say? What am I not hearing? What am I not listening to? What is my heart not open to that you want to say? So then I made an appointment to go to have my to go to the doctor, have my ear open. And before that, though, I went to this prayer meeting, and when I was walking through the line, and they said, "Oh, you're going on missions. You're going on missions," and I said, "Okay." Okay, that's good. And then they said, and then another person was saying, change, change, change. It kept saying that word, change. And I was like, oh gosh, what's going to change? What's up? But then, on my way home, then I, at that same meeting, the guy was talking about China. And on my way home, I just started hearing the Holy Spirit saying, talking about China. But anyway, I go to this doctor, and as soon as the one doctor who I was going to go to wasn't open, so I was like, oh, that's fine. I'll go to who's open. So I go in. As soon as I got in there, he starts talking to me about missions. And he was talking about long-term missions. Now, it wasn't, well, 17 days for me was long-term. What's that?
Chinese doctor.
Actually, he wasn't. Yeah, he was an Asian doctor. And he was talking about mission. Him and his wife would go on long term, like 6 months missions. And so he was sharing with me about that. And I knew right away. I was like, yeah, I know. and then a few days later, a friend of mine called and said, hey, going to China, and you should come with. And I said, China? Oh my gosh, God's been telling me I'm going to China. But then when he said, well, I said, is it missions? And she said, no. And I said, oh, that's not the one then, because he told me missions. And then when she said 17 days, I go, 17 days? Isn't there one for like 10 days or something, or like... 7 days? So then I was talking to God afterwards, and he said, it is a missions trip. It's a missions for your heart. So it was a tour, but he said, it's a mission. And so this trip to China, so I ended up I did some wrestling with that. I was like, oh, man, because I was missed 17 days of work, and it was after I was in a school, and it was right after the summer. We had most of the summer off. So I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to school, work and say, oh, yeah, I know we had summer off, but 17 more days, please. So I went, and he said, make the arrangements before you tell your earthly boss. So I made the arrangements and then told my boss, and he said, 17 days? What are we going to do with your students? And I said, I know, I understand. I understand if you have to, whatever you have to do, I understand. I said, but yeah, I'm going to do this for 17, I'm going on this. He goes, okay, well, I don't know if we can hold, I don't know what, I said, I know, I understand, whatever you need to do. So he talked to the human resources, and they said, oh, yeah, for sure. We'll come up with a plan, we'll do a plan, and so I went. I went to China for the 17 days. That was God's plan. I was thinking, actually, that, because I knew I was going to be leaving the school soon, I was thinking that this must be the way. I think this must be it, But China, I needed to. It was inconvenient. He admitted it. It actually. It was a missions for my heart because there were a lot of things that were uncomfortable, and it was a time of rest. And it was a time of real deep connection with him. And it prepared me for what I was doing the next year, which was resigning from my position. So it was a mission. For my heart. Amen. So I'd say that. I'll close with a prayer. And so so Lord, thank you. Thank you for your rest, for your peace. Thank you for your glory. Thank you that, Lord, you are a God who loves intimacy and relationship with each of your children. You're not distant. You're not mad. You're kind and you're loving. You're relational. And thank you that it's your desire for every one of your children to live from, with, and in peace. And thank you for the invitations that you give us . They're all good. The invitations are good, even when we can't feel it, even when we can't see it, even when we don't know, they're all good. And so I thank you for the ways and the hearts that you've spoken to, Holy Spirit, today. The hearts that you've ministered to. And I just pray that this is just continual. And I just pray for the bold courage for each person to accept the invitation, the invitations that you've given. For the grace, Holy Spirit, that you would empower them with your grace, that you would empower all of us for your grace for the next, what the next is. That you would heal our hearts of anything that hinders the more with you. I also welcome those, I know some are listening on podcast, and welcome you to opening your heart to accepting the more, to accepting Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that already, and you're not living in that peace, because there is no peace without him. And you're looking for peace, and you're looking for rest. We welcome and invite you to the kingdom, to Jesus, to know him, to just say yes. He's ready. He's knocking at your door. And so we welcome and invite all of you for that. And so we just pray all this. We bless the gathering place. We bless Byron and Nancy and this, all of the leadership in this place. We bless it. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lisa.
You're welcome. Thank you.